The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and the 11th verse, this portion we have read, John 12, and verse 11. The Jews wanted to put Lazarus to death. And verse 11 says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on him. In our text, we read that through the witness of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, whenever we hear the name Lazarus, we may not immediately associate Lazarus with being a soul winner. We, of course, think about him as the man whom the Lord raised from the dead. We know him also, of course, as the brother of Mary and Martha, and that they lived in the town called Bethany. But perhaps we never really think of Lazarus as being a soul winner, doing the work of an evangelist. Yet that is what Lazarus did. And he did indeed win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. Some may regard Lazarus as being a most unlikely instrument for the Lord to use by way of soul winning. Consider his name, Lazarus. There are, of course, two Lazaruses in Scripture. We have the Lazarus who sat at the rich man's gate. And here's the other Lazarus. Lazarus means without help. Without help. The man that sat at the rich man's gate most certainly was without help as far as earthly friends were concerned. And here we have the other Lazarus. The Lord was pleased to use a man whom everybody would know. They would know the meaning of his name. And they would know that his name means without help. How then could the Lord use such an individual? Indeed, a helpless individual, to win souls to himself. Yet it is individuals like Lazarus that the Lord is ready to take up, and he is ready to use. The Apostle Paul, of course, believed that. And the Apostle Paul, of course, knew that. For he writes in his first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 1, and verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things. There's Lazarus. Lazarus, in many ways, was regarded as a weak person. He chooses the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The Lord doesn't go out and look for a mighty man to take on another mighty man. He chooses the weak to confound the mighty. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. Lazarus, the one who sat at the rich man's gate, was despised by the rich man, and no doubt despised by all who passed him by. The only friend, earthly friend, that Lazarus had were the dogs of the street who would come and lick his wounds. And yet, Paul says, the Lord chooses the base things of the world, the things which are despised that God chosen, yea, and things which are not, the nobodies, to bring to naught things that are. Now, why does the Lord choose the base things, the despised things, the foolish things, the weak things? Why does he take up men and women like this and use them in his service? Paul tells us that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so anything that the weak and the foolish and the base and despised may accomplish for the Lord, they cannot take any glory for themselves. The glory must be given to the Lord. That's why he chooses such individuals, that no flesh might glory in his presence. And so if the Lord is pleased to use us, then we have nothing to glory in but the Lord. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find then that the Lord took up Lazarus and used him to lead many of the unbelieving Jews into belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, that should encourage us all that the Lord can take the weakest person here tonight, the person who feels they have nothing to offer in the Lord's service or in the Lord's work. The Lord will take you. If you're willing to give yourself to the Lord, no matter how weak and helpless you may feel, I guarantee the Lord will use you. For he has promised to take the foolish, the weak, and the base, and the despised of this world and use them to his honor and his glory. He's pleased to do that. So we can all take encouragement from that. Consider also where Lazarus came from. We know that he was from Bethany. We read there in John chapter 11 and verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. I think that's interesting the way that is put. It's the town of Mary and Martha. In other words, people, when they thought about Bethany, they thought about Mary and Martha. It's the town of Mary and Martha. It doesn't say it's the town of Lazarus. We know that he's from Bethany. He lived there with his sisters. But when people thought about Bethany, they said, oh, that's the town of Mary and Martha. In other words, it would appear that Lazarus dwelt very much in the shadows of Mary and Martha, his two sisters. That Mary and Martha were the prominent individuals in that home, and they were the prominent individuals of that time. It was the town of Mary and Martha. And yet the Lord was pleased to choose Lazarus to be a soul winner. He was pleased to use Lazarus to lead many of the Jews to himself. He plucked Lazarus out of obscurity and used him to win the Jews. Once again, this is consistent with the ways of the Lord. Did he not choose David to be the king of Israel? Brought him from his minding sheep, his leading of sheep, to make him the leader of a great nation. He plucked him out of the sheep cots and set him upon the throne of Israel. And remember Amos? We've been looking at Amos in our Bible study. What was Amos? He was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And he said that he was neither the prophet nor the son of a prophet, but the Lord was pleased to take him from obscurity and make him a mighty prophet, make him a prophet to go out and preach against Israel and the sins of Israel. And we have considered this man, Amos, and considered what a faithful servant of the Lord he was. And so once again, believer, the Lord can lift any one of us from obscurity and use us in his work and in his service to lead souls to himself. And one of the greatest joys for a Christian, one of the greatest joys this side of eternity, is the joy of leading a soul to Christ. There is nothing like it. Just the joy that fills your heart, just to know the Lord has been pleased to use you to reach and to win a soul for himself. Lazarus experienced the soul winner's joy. So let's take a closer look at Lazarus and see this man whom the Lord used. First of all, we notice the change in Lazarus. He first appears upon the page of Holy Writ there in John chapter 11 and verse 1. A certain man who was sick, whose name was Lazarus. That's where we're first introduced to him. Indeed, all that we are told about Lazarus is found in John 11 and John 12. You don't read anything more about this man beyond those two chapters. And we're told that his sisters sent unto him, that is, unto Christ, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. How many people have come into contact, direct contact with Christ through sickness? Well, here we have it. Whenever Lazarus fell sick, his sisters went and told Jesus. And sickness often brings men and women to Christ. It is often the means that the Lord uses to draw souls to himself. But then this sickness was indeed a most serious matter, because as a result of this sickness, we know that Lazarus died. Reference here is made to his past. The Lord Jesus came to Bethany, we read in John 12. The Lord came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been raised from the dead. This was the man that had been dead, but he had been made alive by Jesus Christ. There's the change. He lay in the sepulchre 4 days. But when the Lord Jesus came to Lazarus, the Lord changed Lazarus from being a dead man to one who's alive. And it was after this great change in his life that Lazarus was used to win the lost to Christ. Now when we think of Lazarus, this man who had been dead and then been given life, surely we can think of ourselves. Because as Lazarus was dead physically, so each one of us here tonight have been dead spiritually. We have lain for years in our sepulchre of sin. And we have been dead, and then the Lord Jesus came one day, as it were, to our sepulchre and called us forth. We received that night that we were saved, we received that effectual call. Just as the Lord stood at the sepulchre of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And dear Christian, the hour that you were saved, the Lord said the same thing to you. He called you forth. And just as Lazarus came forth and left that sepulchre and the grave clothes behind him, so we came forth, drawn by the power of Christ. And we received life, eternal life, abundant life, everlasting life. We received it in Jesus Christ. Paul said, and you hath he quickened, or made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. Spiritually dead. And the Lord called us forth. He raised us up. And dear Christian, now we are alive in him. A great change has taken place in your life and in mine. A change that only Christ could have wrought. A change that only God could have wrought. And it was this Lazarus whose life had been changed by Christ that was used in the winning of these Jews and drawing them to Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us new life. We who were dead in trespasses and in sins have been given new life. Ought we then not to use that life to win others to the Savior? Should we not be used to the glory of the Lord in the salvation of souls? We were no use to God while we were dead, just like Lazarus. It wasn't much good to the Lord lying there in the grave for 4 days. He didn't win many souls as he lay there in the grave. It was only when he received life through Christ that he then won these Jews to the Lord. And while we were dead in our sins, we were of no use to the Lord. But now the Lord has saved us. The Lord has called us from death into life. And we have new life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. The Lord can now use us. That was his past. And then you notice the power. They came to see Lazarus. We're told, these Jews, they came to see Lazarus and to see what Christ had done in this man's life. The man whom Christ had raised from the dead. They wanted to see what the power of God had done in the life of Lazarus. I think if we heard about someone being literally raised from the dead, we'd want to see that person too. We'd they'd want to have a look at them, and they'd want to see the person who raised them from the dead. And they came to see Lazarus and to see what the power of God had done in this man's life. And believer, that is the best witness of all. We can win the lost for Christ by simply showing them, by telling them what the power of God has done in your life and in mine. The unbeliever cannot argue with that. The atheist cannot argue with that. We tell them we were once dead in trespasses and in sins, and now we are alive. Can't argue with that. If a man is able to say, I was once a drunkard. I lived a drunkard's life. And I was destined for a drunkard's grave. Until the Lord came into my life. And now I am sober. And have no desire for the drink. That would speak to people. You can't argue with that. A man may say, I once was a blasphemer. I had a terrible tongue. But then the Lord came. And the Lord saved me. And now the tongue that I once used to blaspheme his name, I now use to bless his name. I sing his praises. And once again, nobody can argue with that. It's what the power of God has done. What he has wrought in a person's life. Someone else may say, I used to be an awful person for fighting. I would have fought with my shadow. I was a terror to my wife. And to my children. And everybody who knew me. Knew what kind of a person I was. Until Christ came. And the power of God changed me. And now I have peace in my heart. And I'm a loving father. And I'm a loving husband. That's what the power of God has done to me. I once was a worldly person. I loved the things of the world. The clubs and the pubs. And the pleasure crazes of this world. But then Christ came and by his power he changed me. And I have no interest in those things anymore. Can't argue with that. Just as the Jews came. And saw Lazarus, who had once lain in the sepulchre. Now he's alive. Well, they couldn't argue with that. This indeed was the work of God. They saw the evidence of the power of God in his life. Over in John 9, the whole chapter is taken up with the man who was born blind. And you know how the Pharisees hunted and hounded him. Wanted to know how this had taken place. And quizzed his parents. Wanted to know, was he really blind when he was born? Couldn't accept that Christ had wrought this great change in this man's life. And they came and they challenged the blind man. Who had been made to see. And what did he say? We read in verse 24 of John 9. Then again called they the man that was blind. And said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether it be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't care what you say. This one thing I know, I used to be blind. I was born blind, but now I see. There's the evidence I can see. It's the evidence of the power of Christ in my life. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And then they reviled him. See, they couldn't argue with the facts. The evidence was there. And that is the best witness of all. You feel that you cannot preach. You feel that you're not very good at witnessing to people and talking to them. Well, give them your testimony. Tell them about what the power of God has done in your life. And you can tell them that same power can change your life too. Because that's what happened here in John 12. The Jews came to see what the Lord had done for this man. And as a result of what they saw, they believed in Christ. Lazarus, the soul winner. Notice also his place. Look at the place that Lazarus took after the Lord had raised him from the dead. The Lord has gone to Bethany and he has been invited into that home where he was always welcome. In Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we're told in verse 2, there they made him a supper. And Martha served. I like those words. And Martha served. You recall that other time when Martha served. And she went and complained to the Lord that Mary was not helping her. She had been left to serve alone. And the Lord gently rebuked Martha. Martha, Martha. He had to call her name twice. She was so wrapped up in what she was doing. He had to call her name twice. Thou art cumbered about many things. Martha, you're too busy. You're cumbered about many things. Your sister Mary hath chosen the better part. What was the better part? Mary had been helping Martha. Wasn't as if she was leaving Martha to do it all. She had been helping Martha. But she knew that as well as service, there had to be time spent at the Savior's feet. Mary had chosen that better part. Now there the Lord rebuked Martha. And I find that when the Lord went again to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Martha is serving again. And what I like about that is that Martha accepted the rebuke. She didn't take the huff, as it were. She didn't say, well, that's it. She didn't throw up her arms and say, well, I'm not going to do any more. She accepted the rebuke. And here we find she's still serving. She got on with the work. She had the right attitude. There's the Lord in the home. Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Doesn't say with them. There were many in the house. It says that Lazarus sat at the table with him. There's his place. The Savior had been invited to that supper. And as they had spread the table and they gathered round the table, Lazarus made sure that he was sitting with the Lord. What does that speak to us of? Speaks to us of his communion with the Lord. He's sitting with the Lord. After all that the Lord had done for him, no doubt that is where he wanted to be. He wanted to be in the place of communion. And dear Christian, when the Lord has raised us from the dead, when the Lord has wrought a great change in your life and in mine, is that not the place we want to be? In the place of communion. Lazarus wanted to be near the Lord at the table. And surely when the Lord raised us from the dead, we wanted to be near the Lord. We wanted that to be our place. To be used by the Lord, dear Christian, we must spend much time in communion with him. Elijah, 1 Kings 17, appears suddenly upon the scene. He is sent to Ahab to tell him that there'll be no rain. And once he makes that pronouncement, he turns on his heel and leaves. And where is he brought to? To the brook Cherith. He's taken, as it were, out of circulation. I'm sure Elijah, the man that he was, would want to have gone on, preached against old Ahab and preached throughout the nation about the sin of Israel. But the Lord had other plans. He took them out of circulation and he placed them by the brook Cherith. And before Elijah embarked upon this great work and this great witness for the Lord, he had to spend time in communion with the Lord at the brook Cherith, where he learned to depend on the Lord, where he learned to commune with the Lord, where he became intimate with the Lord. There was no one else there, just Elijah and the Lord. Saul of Tarsus, before he went forth to be the great missionary that he was, spent 3 years in Arabia, as it were, again, taken out of circulation. Spent time alone with God. It's interesting, too, that the Lord Jesus, before his public ministry began, he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Led by the Spirit, yea, driven by the Spirit. Not only was he there in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights tempted of the devil, he would have been there in communion with his Father, in communion with heaven. And then he went forth, began his public ministry, preaching repentance and salvation. So it was with Lazarus. He sat with the Lord at the table. He was in communion with him. We want to be used of God. We need to know what it is to be alone with God. To be in communion with the Lord. The fact that Lazarus was with the Lord at the table not only speaks to us of his communion with the Lord, but his closeness to the Lord. There would have been other places in that house that Lazarus could have sat, but he wanted to be close by the Lord. That's where he wanted to be. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. With him. To be used of the Lord. We need to live that life. We need to live close by the Lord. Dr. Andrew Bonner said, if you want to be used and sent on messages for the Lord, live near him. If you want to be used and sent on messengers for the Lord, live near him. And having been raised from the dead, it's not surprising then that Lazarus wanted to live near him. And this was the man who was used to win many Jews for Christ. You notice there the curiosity about Lazarus. Some had witnessed what had taken place, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Others had been told that a man called Lazarus had indeed been raised from the dead, and much people of the Jews came to see this man. Verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that is, Christ was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Notice, in the coming of the Jews to that place, notice the attraction. What was it that attracted them? What was it that brought them to that place? Well, we are told much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that Christ was there. It was Christ that brought them there. But as well as that, it was what Christ had done for Lazarus. And they wanted to see Lazarus as well. They had come to see what Christ had done in and through this man, and they wanted to see the man himself. You know, and if you look at that verse 9, it's as if the Lord Jesus and Lazarus are inseparable. They came to see Christ, but they wanted to see Lazarus. They wanted to see Lazarus, and they wanted to see Christ. You find there that their lives are intertwined. They wanted to see both. They wanted to see what Christ had done for this man. And believer, if we are to win souls for the Lord, if we are to be soul winners, Christ must be the attraction. It must be Christ that they see in us. They must see what Christ has done for us, what he has wrought for us, that we might say, this is what the Lord has done. This is what the Lord has done for me. was not the prayer of John the Baptist. John the Baptist's prayer was, he must increase. I must decrease. There must be more of Christ seen in my life and less of me. And believer, if more of Christ is seen of us, seen in us, and people see less of us, they'll be attracted to Jesus Christ. If it's the other way round, tell me, what would attract them if they only saw us? If they just saw self and they didn't see the Savior? No, they need to see Jesus. We sang tonight, not I but Christ. Be honored, loved, exalted. Not I but Christ. Be seen, be known, be heard. Not I but Christ in look and action. Not I but Christ in every thought and word. That's what makes soul winner. Notice the appearance of Lazarus. You look there at verse 9 again. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also. It's Lazarus also. In other words, Lazarus takes second place. They didn't come to see Lazarus and Jesus also. It wasn't that Christ took second place. Lazarus took second place. They came to see Jesus and Lazarus also. That's the way it should be. Christ must have first place in your life and mine. We are to be like Lazarus. We're the also's. Christ is the one who must have the preeminence. The Lord Jesus must be first. And if Christ is first in our lives, and people see Jesus Christ, they'll want to have what we have got. They'll want to know the Lord Jesus whom we know. But then look at the attitude towards Lazarus. For we are told in verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. There's the also again. Lazarus also to death. They wanted to put Christ to death. Now they want to put Lazarus to death also. Lazarus was so identified with the Lord Jesus that if they were going to put Christ to death, then Lazarus needed to be put to death as well. And there Lazarus, in a very short time after being raised from the dead, Lazarus now knows the fellowship of his sufferings. Lazarus is so closely associated with the Lord Jesus that they're ready to put him to death also. It's true, of course, the world doesn't like the Christian. The world hates Christ. We noted there regarding the man who was born blind, when the Lord gave him his sight, we're told that the Pharisees reviled him. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. They reviled him. My, how soon the man who had been born blind was called upon to suffer for Christ, as was Lazarus, course, when you live a life where you seek to promote Jesus Christ and His gospel, it's not surprising then that you're going to be reviled and hated of all men for Jesus' sake. But then look at the conversions. The conversions through Lazarus. We read in verse 11, because that by reason of him, by reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You know what strikes me about this verse? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. In other words, Lazarus didn't see how many believed on Christ through his witness. They went away and believed. Lazarus didn't know that the Jews had believed on Christ because they had gone away and then believed. In the mission there in Annalong, they had the tent, as we said, and there were a couple of men guarding the tent each night. One of the committee men was guarding it with another brother, and they got talking through the night, asking one another when they got saved. And the committee man said to this other brother, "When did you get saved?" "Oh," he said, "I got saved in the Cranfield Mission. Cranfield Mission that Mr. Cranston had conducted. This is over 20 years ago." He said, "Did you ever tell him?" He said, "No, I didn't." In other words, he had gone away and believed. And I didn't know a thing about it until last week. The Jews had gone away and believed. And whenever Lazarus would get to heaven, and those believing Jews would get to heaven, Lazarus could say to those Jews, "When did you get saved?" or "How did you get saved?" And they could say, "I could save through you. I could save through your witness." And Lazarus wouldn't have known anything about it. And you see, believer, whenever your life tells for the Lord, and people see Christ in your life, they can go away and believe, and you know nothing about it. It was the life of Lazarus that spoke to the Jews. Because in John 11, and in John 12, I don't find one word recorded coming from the lips of Lazarus. And whenever you look at those verses 9, 10 and 11, there's no mention there of anything that Lazarus said. There's not a word recorded. What was it then that spoke to the Jews and caused them to go away and believe in Christ? It was what they saw. It was what they saw in Lazarus. Not what they heard, but what they saw. And they saw a man changed by the power of God. They saw a man whose life revealed Christ and the power of Christ. And they went away and believed. Your life and mine is an open book, to be known and read of all men. And when people look upon us and see Jesus Christ in us, who knows? They may just go away and believe. And say, "I saw Christ in that man's life or in that woman's life. They have something that I don't have. And they have something that I want and I need." Lazarus the soul winner. And he never said a word. His life told for Christ. May the Lord give us a life that tells for him. Let's bow in prayer. Our Lord and our gracious Father, we pray that thou indeed would give us a life that tells for thee, even as the life of Lazarus spoke volumes for Christ. Make us all soul winners. Even as the hymn writer has penned the words, will there be any stars in my cry? When at evening the sun goeth down, Lord, may we all have stars in our cry. May we all have the joy of leading sinners to Christ. Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. May we go with the word in our hearts. May the word have encouraged us this evening. Lord, to seek the lost for Jesus. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.